All right, we're going to go ahead and get started this evening. We have a large book to cover, and so we need to really get started and get after it. You know, the Lord is so good. We had this freezing temperature and so cold, snow. I mean, it was horrible. The snow at my house was about that tall. And I was supposed to speak tonight, and I was supposed to speak on the book of Micah. But we had to cancel Wednesday night, and I got the book of Jonah. And I have been rejoicing ever since I saw I had Jonah instead of Micah. Nothing against Micah, but I'm just saying, I'm more comfortable with Jonah. So let's open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 12 as we get started this evening. Matthew chapter 12, we're going to look at that in just a second, but I'm going to give you a little introduction to Jonah. In 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 25, it says, Jonah lived during the times of Jeroboam the second. And this was about 1782 to 1753 B.C. He prophesied after Elijah and just before Amos and Hosea. He is the only prophet the Lord likened himself to. And we're going to read that in Matthew chapter 12 as we start in verse 38 through 41. So let's read that. Matthew 12, 38. And some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. But he answered and said to them, An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up into judgment with this generation and condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here. So we see that Jesus Christ, as he is mentioning and talking about himself and Jonah. So now flip over to the book of Jonah, and we'll begin to look there at the life of Jonah. As you turn over there, we know that Jonah grew up in the village of Gath-Hepher, a town in Zebulun. It was only about 3 miles from Nazareth in Lower Galilee. He was the only prophet sent to the Gentiles, and he was the only prophet who tried to hide his message. Assyria was still a threat and would be for another 200 years or two centuries. The Assyrians were very cruel people. So a little intro here as we look at the Assyrians, and the Assyrians was the nation, and Nineveh was its main city. These people, when they would go in to take over a country, a nation, or even a city, they would go in there and just destroy it. They didn't have a problem killing children. They didn't have a problem killing men. They didn't have a problem taking women into slavery and doing Lord only knows what with them. They were just very cruel, very wicked. They were so, everyone feared them. Everyone hated them. They were just despised. And the Jews truly hated them. And we have to understand that. And then Jonah being the prophet, and these people are so hated by the Jews and so hated by the rest of the world because of their dominance and their cruelty. So let's look in Jonah chapter 1. Just so you know, we're going to be reading quite a bit of the book of Jonah, but there's only 48 verses in the whole book. So I think we can handle that tonight. We're not going to read all of them, but we'll read probably a lot of them. So let's look at Jonah. I got to find Jonah. Hang on. There it is. Verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He sent down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fee, or the fare, and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah was a prophet, and he was a prophet enough to realize the sins of his nation. He was a prophet enough, and the prophets would come and speak to the nations. They would come and speak condemnation or the judgment and the punishment that the Lord was going to bring upon them. But he was a prophet that was to the Gentiles, number one, but also he was a prophet enough to realize the sins of his nation. He was also a prophet enough to know that God would send his wrath. He was a prophet enough to know he uses wicked nations to do so. And you've seen that all through the history. And you've heard that as we're going through these books. He also knew that Assyria would be that nation. The major city of Assyria was Nineveh. And one of the things we're doing on Wednesday nights, and I know sometimes the books are a little bigger and it's a little more difficult, but going through one book of the Bible, we're going right in order each week. And so this week, again, as we said, is Jonah. And king after king of Nineveh would gloat over the sufferings that they inflicted. They would go into a city and kill and destroy everything. They would uproot whole nations into slavery. Everyone feared the Assyrians. They were wicked, with a capital W. Jonah's mission was that he was to preach to them their destruction. He didn't want to preach that to Nineveh. He thought they deserved to be destroyed. They didn't care one bit for the people they had killed and tortured. And Jonah had a successful preacher, and he preached to kings, but he was missing three ingredients in his life. And these three characteristics that many today struggle with. So I want to look at these three characteristics, and then we're going to look more at this account in Scripture, this truth. But the first characteristic that he was missing was compassion. What did he care that all these people would perish? What did he care that they went to hell? He had more compassion, as we'll see later, on a plant than people. He was full of vengeance and not compassion. One of the things we look at Jonah, and I think about so many times in our life, when people have hurt us, when people have done things against us, or even people we fear, we look around the world. We look, and that's, I mean, one time we had a niece here from Pakistan. And many people in the United States struggle with Pakistan, we'll just be honest. And we had a visitor in our church, and we got done with all of this. That visitor came up to me, and he said, "I hated Pakistan. And I hated the people of Pakistan. I hated what it stood for. But after tonight, I think differently of Pakistan." And I think about in our lives, we've had people hurt us. We've had people, things happen, or nations have hurt us, or even we look at in our politics, in the government today, and we think of these things, and we fail to have compassion. And one of the things we look at, and we're looking in on Sunday mornings, that Paul had compassion on those he was trying to reach. And so in our lives, one of the things we have to do is we have to have compassion. God had compassion. God has compassion, I guess. It didn't go away, but he has compassion. Jonah had no compassion for these people. The next thing he didn't have, that many today, he had no guilt. He didn't care if God cared for Nineveh. He didn't care about God's will and plan. God's will was not good or perfect, according to Jonah. He felt no guilt in not doing what God wanted him to do. And he felt no guilt in going the opposite direction than what God told him to go. And so many times in our life, when we sin, we go opposite of what God has told us to do. Many Christians today feel no guilt. And we're just like Jonah. Number one, he didn't have compassion. And he didn't have any guilt. And I think about in our life, when we sin and we go against what the Lord has called us to do, we go against his word, there should be a guilt to us of conviction. But he didn't have any of that. He was at the point he didn't care. You know, we think about today, and I think, you know, that sometimes we can struggle with the same thing, but it's not like God's actually just talking to us. I mean, back in these times, God actually spoke to Jonah, and they were talking, and he's like going, "Lord, I don't care." And I'm thinking, number one, he didn't have any fear either. I mean, the Lord could take him out, and he didn't care. I'm not going. And I don't know of anybody in my life that's ever pretty much said that, that the Lord has said, "Do this." They felt a strong conviction. They just say, "I'm not doing it," period. And he had no guilt. The third thing he did not have is he had no comprehension. He was full of resentment when God didn't destroy them, as we're going to see later. And he was furious that God made a fool of him because he was a prophet and he prophesied what was going to happen, we're going to see in a moment, and it didn't happen. And he thought God made a fool of him also. But he had no comprehension that God was working his plan. And the thing is, God's working his plan all throughout this book, and he's still working his plan today. And many times we fail to comprehend God and what God is doing. And God is working a plan, and he is working his plan. And we can fall into that plan, And we need to do study. We need to understand and comprehend what God is doing. And Jonah couldn't do that. We have a preacher here used by God to bring about the greatest revival ever recorded in history. Think about this. This whole city, we know we'll look later, there's 120,000 children. So there's no telling how many people are in this city. And all of them are saved. The greatest revival of all times. We have this preacher who has preached, if you want to say, even though he says only 8 words, but he's preached and brought this revival to this city. The whole city is saved. And he's furious because God's character is that he loves and forgives sinners, even Gentiles. You would think he would be rejoicing that God used him to go speak to these Gentiles, that God used him to lead someone to Christ, his whole city, and all these things change. But he was furious because of God's character. You know, and in life, when we get angry with God or we get upset because God didn't do what we thought he should do or whatever, what we're really doing is we're doing the same thing as Jonah, and we are furious at God's character. His character of forgiveness, his character of mercy, his character of compassion, his character of grace, all of these things. Redemption. Then all of a sudden, that he would have compassion on these sinners. He was upset that God would have compassion on these sinners. Now let's look at chapter 1, verse 12. Jonah was not a coward. We know that he went and got on the ship, took off, and all of a sudden this great storm comes about, and all these sailors that are on this boat with him are scared to death. And so in verse 12, let's just start in verse 10. It says, "Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, Jonah, why have you done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then they said to him, what shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us? For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said to them, pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to the land. But they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Therefore they cried out to the Lord and said, we pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And so we look at this, that Jonah was not a coward. Not only was he not a coward to tell God what he thought and not, I'm not going to do it, he was also not afraid to die. Throw me into the water. I don't care. I will just die. I don't care about anything. I just want to die. If he was dead, he didn't have to go to Nineveh. He knew better than God, he thought. And one of the things we're going to see later on as we go through this and we kind of begin to look into Scripture is that one of the things why Jonah didn't want to go is he knew God's character. Even though God said he was going to destroy Nineveh, Jonah knew that probably wasn't going to happen, or it could not happen, that God could show them mercy. He could show them compassion. And so in that, that's why he really did not want to go. And plus, he wanted them just to die. So now all of a sudden we have that Jonah, this fish comes and swallows him. And many times we go, well, what kind of fish is it? Could a fish really do that? Well, some of y'all have heard me tell this story before, but when I was in the Philippines with our missionaries, Brian and Giselle Kane, and they took us out to this thing where you could swim with these whale sharks, I think is what they were called. I don't know. I'm kind of trying to block all this out of my mind. But anyway, we go out in this little canoe. These guys take us out there, and you don't see anything. And all of a sudden, they tell us to jump out, and it's one of them little, I don't know, it has a little thing on the end of it, you know what I mean? You see them in these, it's called something, but I don't know. So you jump out there, and we have our life jackets on, and they say, take off your life jacket. You're going. Now, why would I want to do that? That doesn't sound real smart. He goes, take it off so you can go down. Down. They're trying to talk. They don't speak good English. Down. Down. I'm going, no, no, up, up. So I finally do it, and all of a sudden they just shove you down in the water. And you go down in the water. There comes this fish as big as this auditorium. If I'm lying, I'm dying. Well, we know we're all dying, okay? So anyways, you can say that, and it's true. That fish was ginormous. And what these clowns are doing, another one's in a canoe, and he's out there feeding them. So he throws food at you. And so those fish come right up to you, and that one hit me with its tail, and I mean, it shot me across the water. But that thing was big enough, and it's coming at me, and I thought, Lord, I believe, I'll go anywhere you want me to go, okay? I wasn't going to be as Jonah. That thing could have swallowed me, I promise you. And he wouldn't even have had to gulp. That thing was massive. And so I've always wondered, could a fish really be big enough to swallow a human? And I'm not a small fry, okay? I'm a big catch. And he could have swallowed me, no problem. And I saw Giselle and my wife walk on water because that guy threw a bunch of food right at him, and that thing was coming at him. And those two girls got up, and they walked on the water just like Jesus did and took off towards another canoe. And I was impressed because I was already trying to dog paddle and get up in that boat, and it was about to fall over. But anyway, I saw that, and I'm thinking, can you imagine Jonah? He's falling into the water. He thinks he's dying, and all of a sudden, funk, he's eaten, but he doesn't die. And you stop and think about that, and he's a slow learner, and he must have been pretty angry because he's been in the belly for 3 days and three nights, and then he gives a prayer. And so he's sitting there in this well, and I mean, I'm pretty hard-headed. I'm stubborn, and I'm hard-headed, but I don't know that it would take me 3 days to come to my realization that God is in control, and he's a little bigger than me, and I want to die, but he's not going to let me die, and he's going to just make me suffer for a little bit. Because I think, and I don't know this, we know, well, of course we do know this because he was prophesying scripture type thing, but what if he had prayed the first day? Would he have been spit up the first day? Think about that. Let's look at chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly after he'd been there. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction. And he does have affliction. And he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas. Now it's interesting. For you cast me, not these sailors, but God, you have cast me into the deep, into the heart of the sea. And the flood surrounded me, all your God's billows and your God waves passed over me. So here he's acknowledging, God, you're the creator. God, you're in charge. God, you're the one causing all this to happen. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight. Yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The waters surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought me up my life from the pit. O Lord my God, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you. With the voice of thanksgiving, I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. So here we have God. We have Jonah in the belly of this fish, and he recognizes God's in control, and he goes, okay, Lord, I'll go. I will go. I will do what you've called me to do. Salvation is of the Lord. And not only that, but Lord, you have provided the fish. You have cast me into the waters. You have protected me. You have saved me. You have done all these things. And I am now going to follow you, and I am going to go, and salvation is of you. With him saying that, and even the mercy, he realizes in his mind probably that something's going to happen in Nineveh that he is not going to like. And so we look and he goes on as he prayed. Look in let's go over to chapter 3, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh." 500 miles is how far Nineveh was away. "That great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3-day journey in extent, meaning it was a 60-mile radius around that city. So it was a large city. Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, "Yet 40 days in Nineveh shall be overthrown." So here, Joe, he goes to Nineveh. It was a 500-mile journey, as I said. And I'm sure he went because he felt God was going to make him go. And he could not keep beating his head against God. He tried to die, but God wouldn't let him. And Jonah's message was condensed into 8 words. "Yet 40 days in Nineveh shall be overthrown." It is a message of doom, not hope. There's no message of mercy or grace. There was no call for repentance. There was no word about forgiveness. He did not address their sins, which were many. He just spoke those 8 words of doom. And word spread of Jonah's message, and the Holy Spirit was at work ahead of Jonah. Now let's look at verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Now, it's interesting. Verse 5, again, let's read it again. So the people of Nineveh believed who? God. Who was speaking? Jonah. It's interesting that they believed. They knew this message was from God. How did they know that? Depends. Some scholars say that evidently there was some Jewish influence. They knew a little bit about the Jewish God, Yahweh. They knew some of these things, but they believed the message of God. And you think about this wicked city, and here comes this man. Of course, we'll tell him what he looked like after being in the fish for 8 days or 3 days, and then having this long journey of 500 miles. Excuse me. They'll tell him what he looked like. And he comes walking into this city who feared no one. I read a thing, and you know, you're reading all these things, and this somebody was making this little point about Jonah traveling the 500 miles. This is not necessarily true, okay? It's just kind of funny. I'm just going to tell you. He's going, okay, so he stops to eat at this place, like a cafe. He sits down to eat, and there's no other places to sit, and this guy comes in, and so he comes and sits by Jonah. They begin to strike up a conversation. He goes, "So where are you headed?" He goes, "Well, I'm going to Nineveh." "Oh, what are you doing? What kind of trade do you have?" "Well, I'm a preacher." "Oh, I don't think I'd go to Nineveh if you're a preacher." "Well, yeah, I'm going to go, and I'm going to preach to them." "Well, they're probably going to kill you. They're going to torture you. They're going to do something to you." "Well, no, that's what God's called me to." He goes, "Well, you know, I don't know if I'd be going to Nineveh. I'm not going with you," type thing. And so they had this conversation. You think that if it happened, nobody knows, but that city was wicked, and they feared no one. And this man comes in and goes, "In 8 days or 40 days, you're going to be overthrown." By whom? Is there another nation there? Is there someone else that's waiting on the outskirts that's going to be coming in? They recognize they heard the message from God. Jonah never said God was going to overthrow this nation. Jonah didn't say, "Repent because God is going to destroy you." He never mentions God. 40 days and you will be overthrown. Then he goes on in verse 6. Then word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. Now we have the king doing this. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil ways and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? So here comes this decree from the king. And everyone in that city took it serious. Everyone began to put sackcloth and ashes, even on their animals and things. And they were beginning to worry about what God was going to do. And they began to turn from their evil ways and from their violence. And it's interesting, as these days went on, you know they were going 40 days, okay? Now 39 days, 38 days, 37 days. Verse 10, then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them. And he did not do it. But, here comes Mr. Compassion, it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, "Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Now think about that statement. Here is Jonah. He has just watched as he probably sat outside the city and watched the days count down. And then he sees day 41 come. The city begins, I am sure, because they knew they were not destroyed, to rejoice. And I bet there was a party going on. There was some worshiping of God going on. And Jonah is sitting back watching this and furious and praying, "God, kill me. I would rather die than watch those people being saved." You think, how wicked could he be? How hard could he be? Well, here's what part of it is. Jonah was only thinking of Jonah. And you hear me say this all the time. When we have self-seeking in our hearts, it'll bring forth sin, and sin will bring forth death. It'll bring confusion, it'll bring evils, it speaks of in James. And Jonah was concerned about Jonah. He was not concerned about the people in Nineveh. He was not concerned about God. He was only concerned about Jonah. What is this going to make me look like? I have come and prophesied they're going to be destroyed and overthrown, and it doesn't happen. I've got to go back to my people, and prophets are only as good as what they can prophesy, and I've prophesied this, and it's not going to happen. They're going to mock me. I'm going to be a joke. No one's going to ever listen to me again. I'm a horrible prophet. All these things. And God, I knew you were going to do this. That's why I didn't want to go. I knew you were going to have mercy on them. That's why I didn't want to do it. I said this in my country. That's why I went the other way. Because I knew you were going to do this. And I don't like it. I'm thinking, wow, can you imagine telling God that? But we do it. We do it all the time. By the way, things we do, the things we don't do, the way we respond. And I know there's probably people in your life, as there's been people in my life, that if the opportunity opened for me to witness to them, I probably wouldn't do it. I'm back in the past. I would now. I don't want y'all to be thinking I'm a horrible person, but we've been there. We have such a disgust for them. They've hurt us. They've hurt maybe our family. They've done something like that. And God is compassionate and loving kindness, and he shows tender mercies towards them, and we get angry. Because we're going, why don't I get the blessings? Why don't I get the vengeance? Lord, I want you to make them pay for what they did to me. I want them to pay for what they're causing our country to be like. I want them to pay for you fill in the blank. But the Lord is full of compassion. And we have to have compassion in our life. The Lord was thinking of those sinners in Nineveh, these Gentiles, and a great revival took place. And we need to be ones that do not always focus on ourselves, but think of others, or else we're just like Jonah. But Jonah did have some compassion. Let's look and see. Let's look in verse 3. Therefore, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then the Lord said, is it right for you to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. And there he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade, till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm, and so it damaged the plant that it withered. And it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. Then he wished death for himself and said, it is better for me to die than to live. Then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And he said, it is right for me to be angry, even to death. But the Lord said, you have pity on the plant. You have compassion on this plant, for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in the night and perished in the night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right and their left, and much livestock? So we hear Jonah here. He has compassion on a plant and not these people. Now think about in our life, the things we have compassion on, and then the ones that we need as the Lord has compassion on, we fail to have. We fail to have guilt that we're not doing what God would call us to do, what God wants us to do, what His Word tells us to do. We don't have any guilt or conviction, and our hearts have become hard because we've allowed ourselves to be hard-hearted in that we do not recognize and have any conviction on what God wants us to do and when we choose not to do it. Because we've hurt the one and we've gone contrary to the one who has compassion and loved us, forgiven us, showed mercy to us that we do not deserve. And I think about in our lives so many times, and Christians, and I watch people and things like that, and you hear different Christians around, you hear them on television or whatever, and you look at our nation, and many times our Christian nation, if you want to call it that, it's really not that anymore, but Christians in our nation, in our churches today, many of them have no conviction or guilt. They turn their nose up at God. They say, God, I don't care what you want. I'm going to do what pleases me because I know better than you. And that's scary. That is scary. And God's not going to bless that. And God's not going to use that to bring honor and glory to Himself. And just like us, I mean, even to the point that Jonah's going, I'd rather die. And he tried to die. That's what's crazy. He tried to die, and God said, you're not dying. You're going to Nineveh, because that's where I want you to be. And God will do the same with us. And we have to comprehend God is working His plan. We go, Lord, I want to be a part of that. I want to be an instrument of Your grace. And don't have compassion on the things of this world. I mean, it's okay. It's okay to have compassion on a plan, I guess. But not and not have compassion on the spiritual. The ones that God is saving, the ones that God wants to save and is calling you to be an instrument of His grace to lead to Christ. And as we were looking in Berea, when Paul went to Berea, and they were ready to receive the word. Nineveh was the same way. God had prepared them that they were ready to receive the word. You know what? God's still doing that today. What a great opportunity we have that the ones that God is preparing right now to be ready to receive the word, we need to be willing to be the instrument that He uses to let them know about the gospel, to tell them about Jesus Christ, to be the one to share the good news. And the thing is, what's interesting is that Jonah didn't say anything about good news, but yet God still made His message clear. Sometimes some people go, you know what, I don't know what to say. If I go talk to somebody, I don't know what to say. I don't know, I'll mess it up. I'll say, well, you know what, Jonah tried to mess it up. And God still saved the whole city. God's working. You're not messing it up. Just be an instrument of His grace. And let God use you to bring honor and glory to Himself. And Jonah, many things, he went back to his hometown. And on the way back, the 500-mile trip, they think maybe in there he kind of got his heart right and realized. He went back and began to tell the story and pen this book. And one of the things that we can rejoice in today is that God has compassion. He's full of mercy, grace, forgiveness. Even to the most wicked and vile people on the earth, He has compassion. And He can save them. And He can use us to do that. And so, be available, be ready, have compassion, have guilt, and comprehend God's work and His plan. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You so much for Your Word. Lord, I thank You that as we can look into Your Word tonight and we can look at Jonah, and Lord, it's more of a historical book and that it's just telling kind of a historical story. But Lord, the message is clear that You have a plan and You're working Your plan. And Lord, that we can either try to kick against it and not be a part of it, and Lord, we can struggle just like Jonah did, or we can be Your instruments of Your grace. And we can rejoice in Your plan. And Lord, we can be used to be a part of that. And Lord, I thank You so much for Your Word. I thank You for Jonah. And Lord, I know that I can't even imagine the struggles that he had with the Assyrians and how wicked they were and how that he really didn't have much compassion for them. But I thank You that You used him to teach us. And Lord, that You called him for that purpose and You used him. And Lord, use us. Thank You for the time we had tonight, and it's in Your name we pray. Amen.